Hey y'all, welcome to NOLA HOTS, a podcast to raise awareness about congenital heart defects and discuss resources about CHD
and some other stuff.
We're just two heart mamas from New Orleans doing this for heart mamas, our dads, grandmas, aunts, friends, whoever may want to listen.
That's Susan Oakland.
And that's Lena Stevens, and we feel like we've got a lot to say.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back.
We are in the end of September. How are you doing, Sue?
Surviving.
Yeah. Surviving seventh grade. I feel like we could do a whole other episode on surviving seventh grade because I'm going through that too, but you're doing it double time. It's tough.
And geometry. Stuff. I'm also trying to survive geometry.
Also algebra two over here. So I get it. Totally get it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Waiting for the colder air to come in.
Which it has not.
Sweating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It stopped raining. So there's that. But
although yesterday I went to Benjamin's football game and I was walking to go see him and it was still flooded on the side of the field and I literally sank into the ground and had to like pick my feet up and almost lost my shoe in the, I don't even know what it was. It smelled.
Well, you're super busy with football season now too.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But we're still making it happen.
That's right.
We almost didn't pull this together today to get this episode out, but we pulled it together at the last minute.
God bless Amy.
Yeah. Yeah. So segue to that. Who's on our episode today? We have two more in-house guests. This is like, we have only the third time. No, we said third time because we had Abigail, we had Caroline, but we forgot about Kevin and Dwayne and the kids.
They were all in person too. I feel like they don't really count.
I mean, they don't count, but
they're not strangers.
No.
Like, not
right.
strangers, but like, they're not, we live with them all the time.
Yeah, but so we have a couple here with us today to share their journey with CHD. Sue, I'm going to let you introduce them and what your connection is with them as well.
Their journey is a little different because they're heart parents, but John Pierre is also a heart patient himself. So they have a like twofold story, which is similar to the Ninja Warrior we just interviewed, who was, it was his brother, it was him and his son.
Yes.
And none the same.
Correct.
But you and Augie's is somewhat related, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. So, but you knew them how?
No, I did not know them. A friend of mine who teaches at the school where the kids go teaches with Amy. And she introduced us and we were, you know, stranger text friends for about a year before we met in person.
Okay. Okay.
At the school city park night. Nice and sweaty and, you know.
Okay, cool.
And then that's how we met.
But again, another small world, small circle of New Orleans that brought us all together.
That's right.
So.
All right. And he teaches, or he taught one of my, did she teach both?
Just one.
Just Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Benjamin and Henry are both bitter that they don't have them this year.
I'll have them in the next semester.
It's been that's been rough too. We were doing some Spanish before we left and I took Latin. And so did Dwayne and Emily. That's her worst subject at Dominican.
Yeah.
So it's not going well in our house all around right now.
Well, okay, so here we are welcoming Jean-Pierre and Amy. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, and Amy is losing her voice, so it was a perfect day to record a podcast.
I sound really pretty today.
Yeah, you do. All right, so give us a little of y'all's background. How'd y'all meet?
Oh, us?
How'd y'all become kind of parents?
Funny story. So he dated my best friend in high school for,
I don't know, 4 or 5 years?
No.
3 years. Two years.
2 or 3, I'd say.
10 years.
That's not...
Nobody
too excited.
Okay.
We did not get along. And then they broke up when he went to college. I don't know.
Yeah, I moved back from LSU. I was teaching tennis, living with my parents. And she happened to live around the corner. And I don't remember why.
On the West Bank?
Mm-hmm.
West Bank.
On the best bank.
That's right.
Okay.
Look, Lana, you're surrounded by West Bankers. How do you feel?
How do you feel about that?
Y'all on my turf today in Metairie, so I don't really care.
But yeah, so then we started dating, got married a couple years later.
And y'all have two older daughters.
Yep, Grace and Chloe.
Our ages?
About to be 7 and 4.
And the twins are 1 this month, right?
Friday.
Last week.
Friday.
Last week they turned 1.
16th,
okay.
Yep.
So tell us about...
And we have a girl and a boy twin.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know if you want to jump in. I don't know if you want to jump into them or if you want to kind of explain a little bit of your brief history.
I guess giving my history would give a little context to Augie's history. Mm-hmm. So I was diagnosed with pulmonary stenosis. And, you know, to put it in perspective from 35 years ago, my parents didn't know. It was a surprise. You know, we had 6 months to kind of process everything.
Right.
And so I had a different surgery scheduled for my bladder or something, and I came out and I was still blue, and they said, I think we need a different doctor.
So it wasn't even at birth. How old were you?
It wasn't.
It was birth. Yeah. Birth. Okay. So they did a immediate emergency surgery.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where was that back then?
It was Baptist, but it wasn't Baptist.
Right. So it was Ochsner. Yeah. Okay.
It wasn't Ochsner.
Yeah. No, but that with the current day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And so I've had several procedures. I've had a couple, probably three open hearts, a few catheters to kind of stretch the valve. And then when I was 20, they put a bovine valve in.
What is bovine?
Cow.
It's cow. Okay. Just want to make sure.
No, it's not. Is it a cow valve or is it like cow pericardial?
I think it's pericardial.
That's
so
what Harley has,
it's got the cow parts or tissue in there. And unfortunately, it's been 15 years, which is good. But, you know, they're kind of looking now to change that out, which is a little scary.
It's starting.
And can they do it in the
lab?
They said I'm 99% a candidate to be catheter. So I really
that's
don't.
That's awesome.
Really don't.
I mean, it is. If you're comfortable, you know. Well, there's a risk. Sure.
Well, both have risk, but, have the option.
Yeah.
That you're able to decide
would be discharged.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Harley's last valve was the cath procedure.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Well, they have a
cervical. No, not yet.
No. When she's older.
I mean, it depends on how she does. I think by the time she's older, they don't like to do that while
they're still
before
growing.
Before they can have kids, because you can't get off of those medications in order to get pregnant.
Yeah.
So they would like to see her past like childbearing years before they would look at that. And I'm hoping by then they're like, well, we don't know mechanical anymore because we have something way better. So we'll see. Yeah.
Right.
But, so when was your last, you said you had a few open heart.
I was 15 years ago.
Was your last open heart?
Mm-hmm. That was my last procedure.
That's pretty good.
He hasn't had a cath lab.
Mm-hmm. Were you with him then? Mm-mm. No. Okay.
Nope.
All right. So fast forward 14 years then, right?
We're pregnant with twins. Did you know they were twins before you found out about the heart defect?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you got over
just
that
getting
shock.
Over that hump. Because I cried for a long time.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah.
And when you were pregnant with the girls, were y'all told to check their hearts?
We asked for it to be checked.
Okay.
So you were
going through that same process with the twins.
We hadn't even gotten to that point.
Okay.
We went for my 20-week ultrasound. And, I mean, it was just normal.
Something.
And but it's so hard to scan twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they said that they weren't sure. Something didn't look right, but it could be nothing.
When somebody else comes in, you know,
that's
something's
when you know.
Weird.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's kind of
or
like,
when it takes too
like,
long.
Yeah.
Well, like, she was kind of like nervous, like the whole time, like talking. And
yeah. It's kind of like when they talk about like when somebody is kidnapped, if they bring you to the second location, it's not good.
Yeah.
So when
it's
a second
down.
Person comes in, it's not a good
and then
time.
It was like two or three people. It was like a fellow doctor and then like a resident. And the fellow, like, scared the crap out of us because she's like, have you done genetics? Da, 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 da. But they were like, but it could be nothing. Could be nothing. But we're going to schedule
love a good
you.
Genetics mm-hmm. doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. What am I going to do?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want genetics done.
Right. Right.
And everything else in the ultrasound looked fine. So, but because they were so small and there were two of them, they couldn't see us for the fetal echo for 2 weeks.
Okay. And then the fetal echo showed the actual diagnosis.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Which was...
And what was his official diagnosis?
He thought it was severe pulmonary stenosis. Or,
do you think they said that based on his history?
No. Dr. White did not know at that. So he had left the ultrasound because we were there for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Chloe had her first swim lesson. I'm like, you've got to go bring her. Nobody else can bring her. So I made him leave, and I mean, it was taking forever. We're like, it's fine. They just can't see him because there's two of them. Like, they just, whatever. So my mom came to pick me up, and she's like, I'm just going to wait in the car. And Dr. White came in, scanned me for a while. He's like, all right, we need to go talk. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I texted my mom. I'm like, you need to come up. I can't be by myself. And she was like, it's fine. You're fine. I'm like, I can't be by myself. Like, it doesn't sound good. So she came up, he waited for her, and he took us in the little office, gave us some pictures. And
did you know it was girl and boy?
Yeah.
Did y'all know that before that?
Okay. So after the 20-week, we did a gender reveal.
Didn't we know it was
We knew that we at least had one boy, because we did blood work.
Okay.
But since it was twins, we couldn't know if it was two boys or a boy and girl. So when we found out it was boy-girl, I'm like, uh-oh, which one is the heart? And sure enough, it was the boy.
How'd you feel about that, being the boy? Not that it would have changed a whole lot. It didn't matter. One
well,
of
I know,
because
I used to work in the NICU, so I'm like,
right.
Oh, shit,
wimpy
white boy.
Yep.
So I'm like, God, it had to be him. But yeah. At that point, we didn't think it was anything super serious. We thought maybe, I don't know, it was like an ASD or a BSD or something that they thought maybe it could be.
Okay, so then the final diagnosis comes in.
So he said either severe pulmonary stenosis or pulmonary atresia. They couldn't see that well.
Intact
ventricular septum. Which means he didn't have a hole.
Right.
Which is better.
Better, yeah. I mean, it's less that they have to do.
Yeah. So,
So did they wait till he was actually born to give you the official?
So, yeah, they didn't give us the official because we went so often and, like, they could never get great pictures. Well, right. I mean, they could see enough.
Because, yeah, there's varying levels of the atresia as well because when the atresia means the valve is completely shut. And so if there's zero blood, and it also depends on when the valve gets shut.
Yeah, which we didn't, I didn't realize. So at some point his valve was open.
Right.
In utero.
Because the heart was able to grow, it's anatomically correct.
Correct.
You know, and there's no little coronaries that they were really worried about because the we believe that the valve shut itself or whatever happened at late in the stage.
Okay. So it's almost like they saw it coming down the pipes, but it wasn't there yet.
No, it was closed when they saw it. Okay. But they don't know. They couldn't tell us when they thought it closed.
Okay.
But because his heart looked so good otherwise, they thought it was later than.
Gotcha.
I mean, it had to have been before 20 weeks because they saw something.
Most of it developed
but
so
you know
early.
What? They saw, they thought that they couldn't see a lot of flow. So maybe it was slightly open for the 20 week.
And, well, I will tell you this. And sometimes, so I think it's size too. When they're that tiny.
Yes.
When Harley was born, she was diagnosed with pulmonary, with tetralogy with pulmonary atresia. And I was like, okay, cool. That's what her diagnosis is, right? And so then she goes and has her surgery. Her second surgery, she comes in and they're like, well, look at that. It's really not atresia. It's stenosis. Like, but it was so small they could hardly see it.
That's what I kind of think mine was.
Yeah.
When Dr. White said, like, you must have had, like, severe, severe pulmonary stenosis.
And I don't think it's a fine line between stenosis and atresia.
It's very fine.
If it's, even if it's just,
even
a,
just
pinhole,
a pinhole, right.
You got something.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And which is crazy. We kind of hoped for that. Like, going into cath lab, like, I remember talking to Dr. Crittenden. I'm like, what if there's something? He's like, if there's something, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because then I could just stick the thing in and balloon it.
Yep.
But, so for people listening who don't know, you know, like stenosis is when there's some
very, very narrow.
It's tight.
Yeah.
And then
atresia is completely closed.
Completely closed. Like a wall.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
I don't like to assume everybody knows.
No, that. I agree.
I guess I did know, but
yeah.
I didn't know.
I didn't know when I first.
Yeah.
I mean, when Henry got diagnosed, I didn't know anything.
No, right.
I was constantly.
And even parents
up.
That are listening who have a kid with another defect that have nothing to do with stenosis or atresia are probably like, I don't even know what that terminology is.
Yeah.
All right, so fast forward to your delivery.
I had a section.
And were they, did you go full term?
I was 36 weeks, so no, it was 4 weeks early. But they weren't, they stopped growing.
Yeah.
They just hadn't grown. I was in the hospital for Ida and Hurricane Ida, and then we left to Birmingham, and then we were back a week, and we had to be sectioned. So it was emotional.
I'm sure.
I had delivered the girls vaginally both, so I had never had a section, so it was terrifying for me. And I was in by myself, you know, before they let him back, and I'm, what is happening? And then as soon as he came in, I just, like, lost it. And Dr. Boone was my OB, and she was amazing. So Margo was born first. NICU took her just to check her, and then Augie was born a minute later. And he looked good. I mean, he was a little more blue than she was, but not terribly. We were able to take pictures with him and see him, and then they took him straight to NICU.
And how long was he in the NICU? Before his first...
3 weeks, I think.
Okay.
But did he stay at Baptist or did they transfer him?
He stayed at Baptist. So Crittenden said he wanted him to be there to grow because he said once they get over to us, it's like ICU overload. And in the NICU, they just kind of let him be and like let him chill and eat.
And for anybody listening, she keeps referring to Dr. Crittenden. He was on one of our past episodes. You may have heard him speak to us before. He was awesome. So
he's amazing.
We love him.
So yeah, he stayed there for 3 weeks. Finally, he got kicked out because they were super busy and needed the bed space. Whatever. But
kicked
I was excited. I'm like
to
main campus.
Okay.
To the cardiac ICU.
Okay.
And he was right. It was ICU overload.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
It is stimulus overload there.
And
the beeping and
I remember our first night. He got moved. I think it was the day we were celebrating Grace's 6th birthday, and they called me and they were like, hey, we're gonna do a blood transfusion, we need your consent. I'm like, what is happening? He's never had like anything done. He literally sat in a bed and just had to eat
and then you had to jump into the craziness of it all, right?
They were amazing.
And they say it so casually.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
because it's casual. When you have a blood transfusion, it's like, you know.
Like, wait, what?
Like, we're going to get a little cookie in the cafeteria. Yeah. Right. I'm just going to, like. Yeah. They just say it, like, so nonchalantly.
But then they were
also talking so fast. Like, we're going to give them some fluids or something. Right. You know?
Yeah. So, but I remember we went that night. And Jean-Pierre was like,
yeah, it triggered a little
panic attack. A little bit.
I had a little panic. I mean, I've heard those beeps my whole life.
Yeah.
Those lights, it's just not, it's not a good place.
No, not it's a happy not a good place. And PTSD is real, whether it's as a parent or as a patient or as a parent who was a patient. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I was like, calm down. It's going to be all right.
But then easier said than done.
I know.
Right. It's easier said than done. The last time, then when you went back the second time, I bet you had that PTSD. Yeah. Didn't
well, they
you?
Put us in the same room.
Okay. So. Yeah. Right. Exactly. All right, so 3 weeks, and so he was scheduled for a procedure.
They hadn't scheduled us yet, so he got there, and we still didn't have a definite date. They were waiting on a part for the cath lab. I think it was
the idea was that he needed to grow so that the heart would be bigger, so that they have more room to cath.
Gotcha.
He didn't really grow much.
Okay. But he didn't grow.
He did not grow.
So they didn't plan to open heart first.
The plan that was just never the plan.
The plan was never to open heart.
No.
And I remember in hindsight, I'm like, I wish we had just done open heart. My mom's like, that was never an option.
That wasn't an option.
It wasn't.
I was about to ask that.
It was never an option.
All right. So, okay, our listeners are probably like, why is she wishing open heart? Because their story kind of takes a little turn here.
Yeah. So he was there, I don't know, just over a month. Oh, no, a couple weeks over a month. So he was there for a couple weeks before they did the procedure. And then they said, all right, we're going to schedule for Thursday, whatever, of that week, October 21st. And so I remember we dropped the girls off at school, and we were, like, listening to music on the way. We were so excited. I feel so stupid in hindsight.
Like, I've had so many of these, and, you know, they're like, always they're so successful. Turnkey, so we're like, I'm like talking trash to everybody. We're high-fiving and joking around.
But you keep saying in hindsight, like,
I don't know. What,
so, should you have not have been anything else? That's totally what
that is the best way we could have been.
Absolutely.
You know?
So we walked him. We got there just in time. They were getting ready to go. They walked him to the cath lab with them. And we were allowed to say goodbye right before they went in. And I remember joking because I used to work at Ochsner and on that floor a lot. And I was like, can I just come in and watch? And I remember Dr. Carollo being like, that would be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we did it.
Right.
So Michelle, Dr. Crittenden's nurse, texted us. They're in. They're taking some pictures. Everything looks good. So they're going to proceed. So it was a heated wire that they were going to puncture the hole through the atretic valve. And then I didn't get a lot of texts after that. And I'm like, well, whatever. They're fine. I mean,
working on it.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to, what am I going to text her? Like, I'll just, and we were just talking about the stupid trains across the street.
The things you remember.
We were sitting there. I mean, it was like we were with our parents. We were like, whatever. And then she calls me and she says, can you meet me in the hall? And I'm like, okay. So I run out by myself and she's like visibly shaking. And she said there was an accident or a complication and they did some compressions. And I'm like, okay, well, he's going to be okay. And she was like, she couldn't answer me. She just put her hands on my shoulder and then I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, I don't know what else to tell you. I've never had to talk to a parent. Like, you know, usually Ivory comes out, Dr. Crittenden, and, you know, updates.
But he was a bit busy.
Yes. So he's like, she said, I don't know what else to tell you. She hugged me and she said, I got to get back. So when she goes back, I text Jean-Pierre, like, come here. And we're in this like little hallway that you can see where the cath lab opens. And then all of like the surgeons and nurses are running down the hallway with like equipment. And I'm like, they're going to him. Like,
I remember a couple minutes after that, there's one nurse or something. I overhear her on the phone. She's like, did you hear what happened in that baby in OR or whatever?
See, I don't remember.
God.
So a nurse came. So my mom and his parents are still sitting and we're like sobbing in the hallway. He doesn't know what happened because I like can't get it out really. And a nurse, I guess, comes up. She's like, are you the family? And we said, yeah. So she put us in this little room.
It was a closet.
It was a closet.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, those rooms are like,
it was awful.
The family room.
No window. I mean, it was like, there were how many of us? Five of us. And that you couldn't fit anymore. Mm-hmm. Anybody else. So I'm like, mom came over and we're like, what's the matter? So anyway, we sat in this room for a long time, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Ivory came in, finally, and I guess they had taken over. Dr. Peeler and their team took over, so he was able to come update us. Said the pulmonary artery was
punctured.
There's a good word.
I mean, I don't know if it was punctured because it's a heated wire.
Okay.
So
melted.
Yeah.
So
singed.
The anatomy of his heart was so small. I mean, his heart was tiny. So he
he said that he thinks that the tip of the wire was just
so
still a little hot
that it burned the wall of the artery. So he started bleeding out.
A freak accident.
Yeah.
Right.
Bleeding out around the heart, so they had to do compressions and then open him like immediately.
So what went from a cath procedure turned into emergency open heart surgery
in the cath lab.
So Dr. Peeler was there. He was available.
Thank God. And I was told way after that he, apparently they were on standby because this procedure is incredibly risky, which we knew. We knew that this was definitely riskier than just a stenotic valve that they could balloon open. Thank God they were.
Probably the better.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean.
It's such a weird thing. Like, how do you, I don't remember them saying anything about it being incredibly risky. I just remember it might be medium sort of a risk. You know, not to any fault. Doctor, because they need to tell you
the procedure.
They need to tell you something that is
true.
Maybe
sign the consent that said all the things that could happen. Right, and you do that with everything. Happened, and you know, you don't.
And Dwayne's always like, "What are you going to do?" They give you these consents.
Yes, I know.
Like you can't be like, "No, I think I'm going to pass." Right. Yeah. Like you don't really have a choice. You know what I mean? Like you got to just do it.
Yeah. Right,
right.
So when he came in, I remember him saying they put him on pump to rest his heart. He has 30 minutes. If he can't come off in 30 minutes, he's not going to make it through this. And I mean, we all like...
Oh, yeah. It was longest 30 minutes of my life.
Well, it ended up being like closer to 45 minutes.
Yeah, I noticed it went longer. You know, I'm like watching my watch.
Yeah, you're probably like counting to the second. Yeah.
I remember
is this good or is this bad?
50 minutes, and I'm like, 50 minutes has to be good.
Yeah, it can't be bad, right?
31 would have been bad.
Yeah.
You know?
So he came back and said he's off pump. He's doing very, very well considering his pressures were fine. Everything looked fine, but they had to stabilize him. I mean, that his surgery, I think, started at like 9 a.m. We didn't see him until 8 o'clock that night, which was awful.
Yeah. And a long day.
Yeah.
Long day.
Agonizing.
Yeah.
Long day, but jumping forward a little bit, long next couple of months.
Yeah.
Right? So he had, you know, a little bit of complications on and off, and he ended up in the ICU before coming home for quite a while.
Yeah.
He was home before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Okay.
So about a month after surgery.
And how long originally did y'all think he was going to be there? Like a couple
they
of days?
They gave us it could be a week, it could be 4 weeks. So he actually made it out fairly quickly considering the trauma he went through.
Right.
He basically died and then they saved him. Thank God.
I have to say, we've had a lot of families on here, moms, dads, whoever, and you know, everybody tells their stories, but I don't know that we've had somebody really tell a story that was that traumatic and raw for, like, some near-death things. You know, like, I mean, I think that there was
some scary... we've actually only had one parent who lost her baby, and that was more of, like, an infection that went to her heart. She did have a heart defect, but it wasn't so much that the defect didn't get her. It was an infection post.
So I guess what I'm saying is I think it's important for people to hear these stories too, because I don't think Susan and I meant to start this podcast so that you could just hear all butterflies and roses about how wonderful Henry and Harley are doing at 13 and 16.
Definitely not why we started it.
No, definitely not why we started it. But these stories are real and they happen. They don't happen often, and we have great doctors and surgeons in our city, and so they don't happen all the time, but it is important to not scare new moms or not scare pregnant families or anything like that. But it does, those are the risks that come along with that CHD life, you know?
And you talk about how you've been in the cath lab a lot. You know, I mean, Henry's had 12 of those and Dwayne always prefers them. And I, myself, I'm always like, can we just open them up and get it over with? Like, can we just open them up and get it over with? And he's like, why do you want to do that? But I don't know. Like, there's this false sense of security, I feel like, with the cath lab.
Well, I think people think less invasive, which is, that's wonderful. But, you know, I'll be honest, until I talked to Amy, I mean, I never had fear. I really didn't have fear of caths. I was thrilled that Harley was able to have a cath 3 years ago over open heart. I was thrilled about that. And it never crossed my mind that, like, I mean, same thing. Like, when they took her off, I was like, all right, girl, see you in a couple hours. Yeah. You'll be fine. Right. Tell me what you want for dinner.
Right.
And so, like, that never crossed my mind. And so I do think it's important for people to know, like you said, you shouldn't have that false sense of security.
Yeah. No, but I think our situation was unique because we had
definitely a
premature, small baby. Yeah. And that heart was probably the size of my fingernail.
Right.
And, you know, you're trying to hit a spot I mean, he could have gone half a millimeter a little too far, mm-hmm. and there's an accident. I mean, half a millimeter is like a hair.
Yeah.
You know, and,
yeah.
and it's by hand with a wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't fault anybody.
No, absolutely. No. Absolutely not.
Never. It's incredibly precise.
I mean, those doctors do things that I can't even imagine them.
How much did he weigh for his surgery?
6 pounds.
Not even.
No, yeah, probably not even.
I was going to say,
because Henry was six, and I mean, I remember them telling us it was about the size of a quarter, and I remember thinking, like, how can y'all even do that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and when he had his, that was the smallest one the surgeons had worked on. And yeah. I remember thinking, like, mm-hmm. how do you even do that? Like, yeah. I can't even imagine.
How do, like, these men with big hands.
Big hands and, like, the tools.
Right.
Like, I feel like the tools are too big for what they're doing. But then you think about, like, a hot wire going through their leg and up in, you know, I mean.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's, I mean, like, not to sound like cliche and dumb, but it's almost like, it's just crazy miraculous, like, the things that medicine can do. It's just nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad that y'all got past that hump. Yeah. And so that bought you time to just this year, right?
Mm-hmm. So that cath lab, they only poked the hole and didn't balloon it.
Okay.
So we had to go back in 4 days later.
Well, the rest of his body took a hit because
he
coded.
Yeah, so he had to heal a little bit.
And so, you know, liver numbers weren't improving and other numbers weren't improving. And they felt that they had to go in again and enlarge the hole because, I mean, part of the way the body heals is the blood sends, the blood does it. And the heart is supposed to pump all that blood to all the organs and muscles and whatnot. And it wasn't happening. So they had to go in again. They said we were pretty much backed into a corner. It was like 3 days out. And they're like, we have to go in again and finish the job.
Like, no.
I mean, I asked Ivory, I don't know how many times, like, is it a floppy wire?
Uh-huh.
Is this going to be like a wire that could hit something?
Yeah.
And he's like, I promise you, it is a wire that will not hurt anything because the hole was there.
Right.
So this
was
just an easy balloon.
And yeah.
And we refused to sit in that waiting room again.
Oh, yeah.
Understandable.
So we went to the Brent House.
The hotel. And, mm-hmm. Lobby. Fountains. Very nice.
Yeah. Much more serene. Yeah.
So
much more serene.
Yeah.
Not that awful waiting room.
Yeah.
But he did great.
After they did that, everything was on the up and up. It was good.
I mean, it wasn't great.
But,
I mean, better than the alternative, considering where it was.
His liver and kidney numbers got better. His brain bleeds and everything were resolved.
So for people listening.
Yes, tell us about that. Because that was
a sign. I can't wait to see what he's going to say.
Well. You know, like, I feel like we're yin and yang, you know. I say he's doing great, and you're like, oh, well, it wasn't that great.
Well, this is interesting because that just goes to show, like, we all experience something totally different.
Yeah.
Like, I would say something, and Kevin could be like, when did that happen? I must have missed that. I don't remember them saying that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just we all hear different things, and we experience different things.
I mean, I thought he was going to die for a long time.
I knew he was going to live. I don't know. Something, like, overtook me. When I look back at all the old pictures,
the first few days were hard.
Well, yeah, it was
awful. We were sobbing.
Yeah,
I
was sobbing like a baby, you know. But I look back now, and I look at all the pictures of him in the ICU, and I think, hell yeah, he got through that.
Yeah.
I look back at the pictures, the first picture we took, and then they took him. That makes me sad.
Yeah, because
I don't know why.
Right.
You know, it's weird.
It is. I don't know if y'all did this, but I made a photo book of Henry's first year for his surgery. So like he could look back and like see what he
went through.
I mean, because they obviously don't remember it. Thank God.
Right.
But,
you
know, I think sometimes they don't, you know, they're so used to going to the doctors and getting checkups and doing like all this stuff, like to really be able to be like, this is
why
you did and what you overcame.
Right.
You know.
I'll have to show you the picture after this, but my dad has old pictures of me.
Oh, we're going to share it on social media if you're willing to share it with us.
But
we're going to do that.
It's funny because, you know, you look at pictures of Augie and he's got, you know, extreme technical stuff on his forehead and he's all bandaged up perfectly and he's got like 18 wires.
Well, he also was a lot worse off than you were, but yes. But go ahead, tell them.
Thank you.
Tell them. I mean, it's not the same.
That's not the point.
The point
is I had a big old scar on my chest and then a Band-Aid. It was a Band-Aid.
Like a legit.
Like from CVS.
Yeah. That was it. After his open heart surgery when he
was not even a stitch.
Part of this is like they have so much data from when I was born to now.
Yeah.
You know, the whole approach to having a heart disease is completely different now.
Mm-hmm.
I was.
Well, we say that even about our own kids. Yeah. It's y'all's experience is so different than mine.
Has been a big difference.
Right, I can imagine. Yeah, like they didn't know anything. Like
I don't even think you were on oxygen in those pictures.
I can't even believe my parents didn't know.
Well, you know, much like you, we didn't just know.
Yeah, surprise!
She was a day old. So 17 years ago, a day old is when we found out. So I mean, we didn't know. And it's funny to me when I talk to a lot of tetralogy families that were like, "So when did you find out? Like 24 weeks?" And I'm like.
After
like
birth,
40 weeks in a day. I don't know.
It's true.
So then.
But he recently had another procedure.
He recently had another procedure this year.
They went in, opened him up again, and just did a whole valvotomy. So they just slit the whole valve open. So we won't hopefully have to touch it again until. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was in the master plan, I think. They said they were going to do the catheter, and then
later,
you know, later right. on, they didn't say specifically when they never can, but mm-hmm. That was part of the plan. It wasn't some surprise or anything that.
But at this point, Susan and I had met you guys, and so we got to kind of go through that journey with you, and he did great. Did wonderful.
He was home in 5 days, 5 or 6 days.
Oh, yeah, he was sitting up.
Which is crazy,
day.
And he's so darn cute.
He's so cute.
And so it was the most recent surgery that was open heart.
Yeah, that was open too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And came home 5 days later.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that just goes to show you, like, you know, wimpy white boy here. Like, he's kind of a rock
That's
star.
That's true.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Thank God.
So, okay. So y'all have quite a story, and thank you for sharing it. But I guess, you know, what are some of the things? We always ask people, you know, if they have, like, any piece of advice for anyone listening as far as like CHD parents that might be new to this world, you know, do you want to kind of tell us like what all this has taught you?
Yeah, he can talk about it for himself.
Or for yourself, right? Right.
Right. I guess like maybe an overlooked part of this is, you know, everybody worries about the anatomy and the heart and how's that going to affect him physically or whatnot. But a large part of it is also the mental side. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you're born with a foot disability or an arm disability, you can't walk right, you know, that's one thing. But when it's your heart, mm-hmm. something happens, you know, you could die.
Right.
And even though I've always been told nothing's ever going to happen to you, you're not going to just drop dead. I mean, there were times when I'd be running and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. I'm going to die tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, I don't know why I couldn't really control that. And, every year I'm telling her, you know, every year around end of the summer is when my checkups are, and that's when the anxiety kicks in, you know? And so from a parent's perspective, you know, the best thing you can do is tell those kids to just be, you know, and just go, you know, cause the body will tell you what you can do. It's not, you know, they didn't know when I was a kid, so they're very sheltered.
Right. Kind of keep you doing what's safer.
Right. I mean, at the same time, they told my dad and my mom, to just, you know, let me do what I can, but they were still very unsure of things.
Yeah,
and
now they're pretty, you know, I think that
now it's just like, go for it.
Whatever, their bodies will tell them. They'll know if they can keep up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Crittenden tells us all the time, he's a normal kid. Like, don't treat him any other.
Right, push
now
him.
That hit,
you know.
Well, which is hard.
Well, you can ask my daughter. I probably am harder on her than I know I'm probably harder on her than I am on Carson because that's part of it.
And you kind of have to be harder on yourself because the heart has to keep up, you know? So while everybody else is running at their 100%, you know, my heart works at 150%, you know? So I have to work double time to get to where everybody else is at, which I think it's made me who I am today. You know,
100%.
I'm just like hard worker. You know, I just,
well, I was about to say, there's almost like, it's like a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Always.
Absolutely.
That I feel like everyone who has a heart kid, they feel like their heart kid is like the hardest worker of their kids, you know, like, because they're just used to having to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's funny you say that. Cause I think that's true of a lot of them. Not on purpose, by natural instinct.
I think it's a natural thing,
I mean, I don't know. What's been so helpful is just, like, finding y'all. So, like, find your people. If you
have
people to, like,
why are you gonna say
cry.
Why are you saying that? Like, that wasn't part of the plan.
Well, I'm just saying it's been so helpful. And
yeah, it is helpful.
I mean, I talked to Sue for so long, and I thank God they all invited me to dinner that one night. And it's just so helpful to have people to talk to. And that's hard for him to understand because he's we don't have to talk about it. I'm like, but you aren't. I know you go through it in a different way, and you're experiencing
it.
But
it myself,
I am now I'm in it. And it's helpful for me to be able to talk to people and tell them how I feel and not be judged.
I'm sure everybody listening is like, oh, this poor woman. And I'm so glad that I can talk to somebody too. Like, if people's stories matter to people listening. Yeah. I know you've listened to the podcast before. Yeah. I know that probably some of them have been helpful to some people. It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
So I'm happy to hear that.
And I think naturally women are just talkers.
Yeah.
Like,
not all, but I think.
But Dwayne, like, he compartmentalizes and, like, you know, I feel like most men tend to do that. Like, he's like, I'm not going to, like, whenever Henry, like, you talk about getting anxiety when you go for your, like, when I know Henry has an appointment, I'm like, that's starting. He's like, I mean, why are you worried about that? Worry about that after you go if something's wrong. And I'm like, that's not how I'll, you know, like,
right.
But that's how he thinks. Yeah. I can't worry about it because I can't change it by worrying.
Yeah.
But naturally, I do. And I get anxiety. And he has PTSD and anxiety from it. And I know that, which I think makes me more anxious, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always that different angle. And this was definitely one. And we appreciate y'all both being here. We originally asked Amy. And it's not that we didn't want you.
We didn't know if you wanted to be overwhelmed.
We didn't know if we were going to be too much.
There's a lot going on.
We are a bit. We are a bit of people. We're a lot. So, We appreciate you coming in and sharing. It meant a lot.
Of course.
Yeah.
I feel and they celebrated their first birthday on Friday.
We're going to have a party this Saturday.
Yeah, we are. I'm excited.
The circus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is appropriate, huh?
It's definitely appropriate.
You've got a family of six, you know, four under seven.
It's a circus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask y'all that. How do your kids handle Augie being sick? I feel like that's something not everybody has either, because a lot of people, like Lana, her first one was her heart.
Yeah.
And they're younger. Like, Emily was two and was still kind of clueless, but yours were older.
Yeah, and it was hard, too, because the girls, well, Grace at the time was the only one there, went to the school that we both teach at. So, like, they would pray for him and, like, talk. Everybody was talking about it at school. And so I think she heard.
Right.
And she met with some child life at the hospital.
So that's good.
Yeah. Which helped,
she was
acting
out in class, or she was, I feel like.
That whole time was a fog. I don't really remember. Yeah. I remember Chloe really being affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
They knew something was up because, you know, somebody
things
was always
different.
Gone.
Yeah.
You know?
And they knew that we were having two babies and only one baby was home.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about two babies forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Chloe, there was one night where she just, like, lost it and was like, I miss Augie, like, sobbing. Mm-hmm. And we're both, like, looking at each other like, what are we?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Because that's hard for them to understand.
Yeah.
And she
luckily
had
he came home, because I often think about, like, if I wouldn't have been able to bring Henry home, like,
then what?
Right,
like, how do you handle that?
Right.
You know, because they never got to meet him and they never got to experience having him at home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna celebrate big this Saturday then.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Is there going to be a clown? I can't.
No, there's no clowns.
I feel like she's on the fence from the beginning based on the theme. Like,
there's no clowns.
Okay, well, we're gonna wrap this episode off. Okay, so don't forget to continue to share your personal stories. If you're interested in being on the podcast, you can email us at nolahutz@gmail.com. It could be your story, it could be your child's story, your grandchild's story, whatever. I'd like to get a grandparent perspective in the next year, so that's one that I want to see coming. So if any grandparents are listening, reach out to us. We'd love to be able to hear from you. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Nola Hotz, and you can listen to us at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and Pandora.
Please share our podcast, rate us if you listen on Apple. I wonder how most people listen. I don't know.
I feel like most people have Apple.
Probably
I'm
Apple.
Not being
That's
judgy, but I am. If you have an Android, I'm sorry. There are other ways to listen, but if you have an iPhone, like regular people, then you can listen on Apple.
On Apple Podcasts. Okay. All right. We're looking forward to the next episode. Don't forget, no judgment here. It's all about survival.
Cheers.